I want to talk to you this morning out of the book of Haggai chapter 2. Now we got that out of the way, I can preach to you. He said, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel. And he goes on to say, be strong, Jehozadak. And then he goes on in the third verse and says, saith the Lord, be strong, O Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the strong, and all you people of the land. Saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I coveted it with you, when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us today and use me, God, as an oracle of your presence. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, hey, you're beautiful. And I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on just simply this. The four things that we need in the last day. Now, church, when I read about this, I began to think about it. First of all, is this really applicable for where we're living? You know, I read this and it tells us that who among you is left who remembers the last days, what it used to be like. You know, when I evangelized, that was one thing I used to get nailed with on a regular basis. Boy, I remember when we used to have revival. I remember when we used to see God move, and I was seeing God move every night. I was trying to figure out why they wanted to live in the past when God was still blessing today. But, you know, we got people all the time, oh, I remember when the church was great. I got news for you. The church is just as much great now as it's ever been, because my God hasn't changed and his power has not changed. And my God is able to do today everything he's ever done in the past. Could you say amen? What we've got to do is do what Paul said. I'm going to get rid of the past. Paul said, this one thing I'm going to do for myself. I'm going to quit living in the past. I'm going to quit living on what used to be. And I'm going to press toward the mark of the high calling of God. And I'm going to put my mind in what God's doing now, what he's going to do in the future. And I'm going to hang on to what God's going to do. And I want to be honest with you, church. If we can do that, I think we can see God begin to move like he's just moved in the past. We can begin to see healing in the church again like we used to see healing. We can see God begin to move with his grace and his glory as he's did in times past. Could you say amen? But now notice this. Does it really apply to this day? Now, if you begin to read this, you'll notice the times Haggai lived in. Haggai chapter 1, verse 3. He said, and then came the word of the Lord to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and the Lord's house lie waste? Well, that's something, church. Don't you think it's sad that most of us are prospering? And yet we talk about how great we're doing, but yet there's nothing going on with our work with God. And what he said to Haggai, he said, is it time for y'all to be getting good and my house be blown away? Because at this time, you remember, there was no temple. It's been destroyed. They're trying to rebuild this area. They're trying to rebuild the temple, rebuild Jerusalem. They're trying to get things back where it used to be. And let me show you something, church. These people are doing it off a heritage they received of how great it was. Most of these people never saw the Shekinah glory of God fall into the Holy of Holies. They were not there when the choir sang at night. They were living off of a heritage left to them by their parents and their grandparents. And I want to tell you something, church. I'd long for the day when the Holy Spirit of God would move like it did in the church of God years ago. And I know it can still happen because God is the same. And for that reason, I've got a hunger in me to say, God, I don't want to stop but just getting by. I want to see the move of your presence. I want to see the move of your glory. I want to see loved ones back in an altar again, people getting under conviction that are coming to the house of God and repenting of the things that's in their life. I want to see that again, and I believe it can happen. Could you say amen? He said, well, preacher, what's that got to do with our day? Listen to what he said. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. You've sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with a hole. Now, does that not describe our day? I mean, no matter how much we got, we want more. We're not happy. We're not satisfied. That's why the lottery makes so much money. Everybody's got that dream. I'm going to hit that lottery. The reason most of you broke is why if you hit the lottery, you'll be broke in a little while. Statistics prove most of the people win the lottery are broke again within 5 years because they didn't know how to handle the money. It's what got them in the situation they didn't start with. And you get more money, that's just more money to mishandle. Smile. Some of y'all going, I'm playing the lottery. I'm playing God's lottery. I'm paying my tithes and believing God to bless me. And I think that's a better payoff than anything I'm going to get any other way. Come on, church. Now, if I got some extra, I'll throw it his way because he'll always bless me somehow. Amen? Praise God. But now notice this. Isn't it wild, but even God understands inflation? We make money and put it in a bag, got a hole in it. You ever notice no matter how much more you make, they find a way to raise the prices up so you ain't making enough? Now look, I got folks, when I start talking about when I was a kid, they some young folks look at me going, he's ancient. I remember buying a Coca-Cola and a candy bar for 10 cents, and I remember when I got mad when they put a penny tax on it because I had to go get another penny from somebody to buy a Coca-Cola and a candy bar. I remember buying gas for 16 cents a gallon on McFarland Boulevard during gas wars when I was a teenager. Some of you are going, my God, preacher, you are old. No, I'm not. That was in the 70s. But we're living in a day now, no matter what we make. If you'd have told me that I was going to be able to live the way I live on what I make when I was a kid, I'd have thought you was crazy. I'd be in a mansion, you know. Because when I was a kid, I mean, my first car, I paid $3,200 for my first brand new car I ever bought. Dodge Charger, fully loaded. $3,200 at Roebuck Dodge. And I drove all the way to Birmingham to get it because a guy in Tuscaloosa wanted $3,400 for the same car. And you say, how do you know it's the same car? Because a guy in Birmingham ordered it in Tuscaloosa and delivered it to me. It was the same car I drove in Tuscaloosa. Glory. And I'll never forget having to make the payments on that thing. It was all I could do to get enough money to make them payments every week. And now somebody tell me, I got a $400 a week car, a month car payment. I'm like, oh my God. And that ain't nothing now. Hello? But that's where we are. We're living in a world where it takes everything we got to get by. And this is the world that Haggai lived in. But notice what he told them. He began to tell them some things the church needed to do to make them overcomers. The four things he talked about. First of all, we must be strong. Amen. I like that. Amen. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I want to tell you something, church. Some of us needs to realize one of the biggest problems we've got in the church world is that we're not being strong in the very things God give us. Amen. People talk about, oh, it's so hard. I remember when I got saved, they'd have testimony service. Y'all remember them? I used to get so discouraged because some of them would jump up and they'd say, I've been living for God 30 years. And it gets harder and harder. And I'm back there going, oh, my God. I had enough trouble before I got saved. What's it going to be like now? You know, and then I got to finding out what made it harder were they was not doing the very things you needed to do to make it easier. He said, what are you talking about? Hide the word of God in your heart that it becomes a light unto your path that you might not sin against me. Walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. My God has given me the tools I need to make it easier every day to live in this life. I'm not going to be exempt from the fire and I'm not going to be exempt from the problems, but it's easier to go through them if I've got the word of God in my heart and the spirit of God in my life to direct me. And if I strengthen myself in the Lord, I have the power to overcome. Could you say amen? Woo. Somebody said, well, brother, you just ain't fought the devil I'm fighting. What, you think you got a, you know, a monopoly on this deal? We got some folks, you just ain't fought the devil I'm fighting. We're all fighting the same devil. Last time I looked, there ain't but one of them. Hello? He don't multiply. He's still the same entity he was when God threw him out of heaven. But we walk around and we're so scared the devil's going to wear us out. I'm going to tell you why he wears you out, because you're scared of him. When I was in high school, if you showed fear, the bullies would pick on you. If you act like you're going to fight with them, they'd usually leave you alone, even if they thought they could whoop you. Why? Because they didn't want to fight. They just want somebody they could run over. Satan is the same way. Notice what the Bible said. He goes about to and fro on the face of the earth, seeking those whom he may devour. I got news for you, friend. You got enough of the word in you, and you got the anointing. You are not edible. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. And I want to get to that place the devil understands. You bite me, I bite back. Glory. Hello? Amen. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. Me and a friend of mine was cooking some steaks one night out in the yard. And this dog next door got his. I remember it's his because I stuck a fork in the oven, picked it up and licked it before I set it back down. Said, be sure it was mine. Glory. That was right after that dog got his. And that dog got that thing off that grill and started trying to run with it, and he was trying to bite it and hold it, and it'd burn him, and he'd drop it and he'd pick it up, and he did it two or three times. Finally, he ran over in the yard and laid down and started rubbing his nose on the grass and putting his paw up there trying to get that grease and stuff off of him. It got so bad, I actually picked the steak up, threw it at the dog, and he squalled and run. He was so scared of that meat because it was so hot. It lay there until the last while later it got good and cold. I told the guy, I said, you know, he only bit on one side. I did that, but he didn't get the steak. We went and got him another and put it on the grill. But I got to watching this little old dog next door come over and grab that steak. And he actually had to walk backwards to drag it, but he was taking it home with him. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, that old big dog noticed that. He's probably going to feel pretty bad now. But you know, church, I want to be that way with Satan. I want to be so anointed and so moved on by the Spirit of God that when Satan shows up in my house to take a bite, I give him a leg he bites into, and it's like, whoa, and he don't want no more of me. I want him to understand I'm not somebody you just go on, not because I'm somebody, but because I've got God in me, and I've got God in my life, and it is in him I live and move, and by him I have my being. You say, preacher, how are you going to do that? Ephesians chapter 6, amen. The Bible tells us that in the 10th verse, finally, be my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. If we've ever needed anything, we need that, church. We need the whole armor of God. We need to get a hold to the word and put it in our heart. Get that anointing of the Spirit that we can quench the fiery darts of the devil and have the power to overcome. And if we do that, then we've got the grace of God to make us strong entities so we can stand up for the Lord. Could you say amen? I'd hate to know I lived all my life worried about what Satan was going to do to me. Hello? Come on, church, smile at me. Somebody said, preacher, you're going to stir him up. Big deal. Do I look like I'm worried? I got two addresses he can reach me at. I live right across the road. Y'all can give him my address if he wants to know it. And if he needs to mail me something, I can still get it through the post office down here or over there. And if he goes to Buell, they can tell him where to find me. Even them folks know I live in Alabaster now. Somebody said, you're crazy, preacher. Might be, but I'm not afraid of the devil, and I'm not going to lose a night's sleep because of it. Come on, church. Amen. Why? Because I know my God, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And because of that, I strengthen myself in him. Hallelujah. Amen. But notice this. He also says something else. Now, some of you need to wait and brace yourself a little bit. I know you're not going to like this word. See, when I got saved, this guy took me off to the side, and he said, now, first of all, Ken, you've got to get rid of your four-letter words. I had a few of them in my vocabulary. But I have a problem with some Christians because they threw out some that they needed to keep. All four-letter words ain't bad. And I'm fixing to talk about one that we've thrown out. W-O-R-K. Work. I got too many people in the church that are saved, sanctified. Only way to heaven ain't got nothing to do. When there's a whole field out there ready for harvest. Come on, church. Amen. Smile at me. See, I told y'all wasn't going to like it. Some of you going, oh, my God, he's trying to get me to do something. Well, you know, church, I don't know about y'all, but I've got a friend that he's a Methodist, was a Methodist pastor before he retired. He pastored the church. About 80% of them had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And me and him was together one day at a health spa working out, and a friend of mine came in, a Church of God preacher. And he was sitting there, and he said, boy, we had church yesterday. And you know how Church of God folks are. We think we're the only ones know how to have church. He leaned over to me. He said, boy, if they just knew what a move of the Spirit was. And about that time, I think my friend heard him. He said, we had a lady playing for the offertory, and the Holy Ghost hit her, and she left the piano shouting. And he said, there were people walking the aisles praising God. Said, we had 5 saved, 3 healed, and 15 filled with the Holy Ghost. That church guy preached a little bit. He said, my God, they had church yesterday. Glory. Amen. And then finally, the pastor got around to the question of all questions. He said, you believe if somebody gets the Holy Ghost, they speak in other tongues? He said, well, yes, I do. He said, you believe that's the evidence somebody's got the Holy Ghost? He said, not completely. The church of God, God said, see, you don't believe the way we do. He said, sir, we taught y'all what y'all believe. I loved it. He said, but y'all need to add something to your belief. He said, what's that? He said, I believe everybody's gotten the Holy Ghost in my church and spake in tongues. I got no problem with that. But he said, I know they got the Holy Ghost because there's a continuing evidence. He said, what's that? He said, they go to work. I don't have to push them. I don't get, they said, it's energy. It's energy in them when they get filled with the Spirit and they go to work for God. I don't have to beg them or plead them or push them. They start doing something because they got an anointing in them that makes them want to work. And sir, some of y'all look at me like, well, preacher, I'm not sure. Well, I ain't either. That's why I'm preaching to you. Amen. Because you see, there's life in the Spirit. And when somebody's got life, they move a little bit. You don't have to tap them. Amen. They get some life in them. They do something every once in a while. And I got news for you, church. We need to get busy. We need to go to work for God. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. You say, well, preacher, what can I do? You can just love people. If you'll love people, it'll change their life. You don't have to have great words. You don't have to be able to give an oratory of the Bible. All you got to do is love God and love people, and God will use you to reach somebody for his kingdom. Amen. Well, preacher, I just don't believe you got to do all that. Well, what does the Bible say about a non-productive vine? Doesn't it say the husbandman usually does what? Cuts it off. I don't know about y'all, but I kind of like the juice I get from being connected to the vine. Glory. Man, church, listen, it could be as simple as this. I'm riding down the road with a pastor one day. We're going down the road. We pass a lady on the side of the 4-lane in 90-degree weather. I said, I believe she got car trouble. He said, you think? I said, yeah. He said, want to check her? I said, why not? What could it hurt? He turns around, goes back up, pulls up beside her. I rolled the window down, had a big old truck, one of them big old four-door, you know, cost a bunch of money trucks. He wheels up beside her. I said, ma'am, you got car trouble? She said, I don't have a car. I don't know about Alabaster and Buell. That was pretty good car trouble. She said, I'm headed to work. And I'm trying to get there because I can't lose this job. I got to have it. And I said, where do you work? She said, I'm a waitress. And I thought she said Turley's. And I'm trying to think of a place named Turley's anywhere in the area around there. And I can't think of a place for nothing. And we get to talking. And it ain't long I realize I misunderstood her. She was a waitress at Charlie's. And some of y'all may be being enlightened. It's in Inslee, Alabama. It is an adult entertainment establishment. That's politically saying it's a strip joint. It's 20 miles to that place from where we picked her up or where we found her. I might well tell you we picked her up because I'm going to tell you before it's over with. I looked at her and I said, well, ma'am, can we give you a ride? And the preacher said, well, we're just going down the road down there about 10 miles. I said, well, can we carry her that far? He said, well, she don't mind getting in this truck with two men. She don't know we'll do that. And I jumped out. I said, she ain't going to have a problem with that. Glory. She got in the car, and we go down the road. We're riding down through there. And about that time, the preacher said, you know, ma'am, we're not in that big a hurry. He said, if it's not that much farther, I'll carry you where you work. I kind of slid my hand over, bumped him on the leg. I said, you know where she's going? Now, you're going to understand something. It wasn't going to bother me, but I was worried about him. You know, he's got a big clergy tag on this truck. When he wheels up in that parking lot, they're going to recognize him. He looked at me. He said, yeah, I figured it out. I said, okay. He said, you don't mind? I said, no. I said, you need directions? I passed it several times. Never been there. Point that out to you. I used to go through there going through Adamsville going to revivals. Why, I know where it's at. We going down through there. Finally, she says, I've been trying to get me a good job. She said, I've lost my children. Said, the DHR come and got my baby. What children? One child. Said, they turned my lights off. Repossessed some stuff I had rented. She said, I'm just trying to get my life back together. And she said, I work over there. And said, and I get cash for the tips, and they pay me cash every night when I get off. And she said, all I'm doing is waiting tables. I'm not a dancer. And the guy said, you ever tried to get a good job? She said, that's what I hope to do once I get my life back in order. He said, you ever tried to work at Walmart, Ain't a thing wrong with working at Walmart, but that's not the first place I'd think about if I was going to tell somebody to go find a job. She told him, she said, well, no, I hadn't. And by this time, we've made it to Charlie's. He wheels up in there, and sure enough, there's people pointing at the truck when we drive in, looking at that big clergy sign on the front. I got out and opened the back door and let her out, and she come out. I shook her hand. He gave her one of his cards, and I shook her hand, gave her one of my cards, and I said, look, if I can help you. Her name was Miranda. I said, just call me. I said, but now I'm going to tell you something the preacher didn't say. You've been sniffing ever since you got in the truck. I said, you ain't got no coat. There's not a lot of pollen flying around right now, so I believe you may be stuffing something up your nose. She said, so you're going to condemn me? I said, And the reason I caught it, because I'm a former addict. I knew what to look for. I said, but this ain't going to help you get your kid back. It ain't going to help you get your life straightened out. But if I can help you, call me. And I said, hey, come to church if you will. Tuesday night, she comes rolling up in the parking lot. Now, church, she was in a vehicle, but it wasn't much of a car. Hello? She still had car trouble. She comes into church, and the preacher standing there, and he said, hey, you got a Bible? She said, I've never owned one. See, that's a mistake we have in the church world, that everybody in America has seen a Bible, but the majority of people in America under a certain age may never have seen a Bible because the Gideons can't get them out of school anymore. And we got a lot of folks coming up in this world that's never seen the inside of a Bible. And they don't know nothing about what we're talking about. Hello? You start talking to them about salvation, you got to go and get in little bitty words where they'll understand what you're talking about, because they got no clue what you're trying to tell them. And he goes back, and he just happened to have an extra Bible where he bought Bibles for the graduates and was giving them to them. And he gave her one of those Bibles, presented it to her, put her name in the front of it from that church. And you'd have thought he gave her $1 million. She went in there, and she's thumbing through it. And when she started in the door, all I could think about was, we've requested prayer for this young lady. Some of these ladies are going to know who she is. And she come through the door, and to my surprise, they flocked to her. Hey, come sit with us. Come sit with us. And I know some of you looking at me like, well, preacher, what's wrong with that? Most of you would be going, she ain't getting next to my husband. Hello? Don't look at me like some of y'all look at my preacher. That wouldn't happen here. I hope not. But they treated her like she was somebody. Just loved her. Holy Ghost got to moving. I never made it to the pulpit. She come walking down the aisle. She said, preacher, I ain't living right, and I need to get saved. And she got in that altar and prayed through, and man, that smile went across her face. It's just something about somebody to give their heart to God. I'll never forget, she was going out the back door. All of a sudden, this guy reached over my shoulder, tapped her on the shoulder, said, hey, you ever tried to get a job at Walmart? And I'm like, it's a thing in this church, ain't it? Then I found out what it was. He was the manager of a Walmart. That's what the pastor was thinking when he asked her the first time. I got an inroad to get you a job. She said, well, I'm not good with computers. He said, are you willing to learn? She said, yeah. He said, be at Walmart in the morning. He took her back and helped her fill out the application, because you got to use a computer to put an application in. He fills out and helps her. I go by about 3 months later. She's working at Walmart running a cash register. Person ain't good with computers. She's running a cash register. Sound normal, don't it? I see her back in. I'd stop, got something. I come walking up, and all of a sudden she looks up. She said, oh. She come running out behind that, hugged my neck, and dude behind me said, boy, that's service. Lord. She looked over my shoulder. She said, it ain't happening for you. She goes back around. She starts to ring up what I've got. She says, they brought my baby home yesterday and said, mom and dad's gone to church with me and they've gotten saved. And said, my sister's coming next Sunday and said, you know, we're going to get the whole family in church before it's over with. You know, and I left that place walking on cloud nine, because I knew somewhere, somehow, God helped me reach somebody that was on their way to hell. And I got news for you, church. Everybody in this building ought to go to work for God, doing something, loving somebody, reaching somebody for the glory of God. Could you say amen? Gotta hurry. It's 12 o'clock. I got two sermons in one. Second sermon. Second point. Not only do we need to work, but notice this. He tells us that we need to understand why we're working. Jesus himself says in John 5, he said that I might do the work of the Father and finish that which he has started. Hello? John 4:34. In other words, Jesus said, the whole reason I'm here is just to do the work of the Father. If that's his job, what about us? that we should have the whole idea that everything we want to do is do the work of the Father. But notice also, he says this. He said, fear not. Point three. We got to quit being in fear. We got to quit living our life worried about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. We got folks watching the newspaper every day and getting a little more fear in their life because they're afraid the bottom's going to fall out tomorrow and we're not going to make it. I got news for you, church. Fear is a spirit in itself that we don't need. That's why God said, fear not. I read the book of 2 Timothy and I find where he said, God did not give me the spirit of fear, but of joy and of peace and of a sound mind. And I understand that if I'm serving God, I don't have to live in fear of what's going on in this world. I don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day because I hear the words of David when he said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bed. And if we sell out to God, I got a God who can provide everything I need to make it. Could you say amen? Oh. Suffice to say that in the years that I evangelized, I didn't have a steady income. These people talk about, I'm on fixed income. I wanted to swap with them. Mine wasn't fixed. Man, one week it'd be this, one week it'd be that, and one week it'd be another. And some folks got to talk about, well, it always balances out. It done okay, but there's sometimes the balance was in the wrong direction. Now, it might have been a little different. I'd handpicked where I was going, but I never told somebody I couldn't come. Guy asked me one time, said, how do you do that? I said, I wouldn't know any other way to do it. I preached at churches running 25 and 30. And I'd go there and preach, and they'd give me the offering, and I'd do what I could. But you know what? I guess y'all have noticed I've never missed a meal unless I meant to. And I learned over those years, if I was faithful to God, God'd be faithful to me. And let me tell you something, church, that's all we've got to understand there is nothing in this world to fear, because my God is going to take care of us. My God's going to do it. If he's got to get us through the fire, he'll take us through the fire. If he's got to make a river in a desert, he'll put a river in the desert. Amen. Come on, church. You may not realize this, but the children of Israel had water every day they walked in the wilderness because they had a God who is the God of the water. Amen. When they needed that water parted, he parted the water, took them right on through. And when they needed food, he brought a manna from heaven. And when they got tired, a man, he brought some quail by and had them fall dead just so they could eat them. Lord, hello? Elijah's sitting by a brook and he's upset because all he's got's water to drink. God had a raven go by and steal him some meat and bread. Lord, come on, church. Y'all may not believe that. This is Kent Stroop's sermon, but I thought he was going to get him a Big Mac. And he had food to eat because I got a God that can provide. We've got to get to that place we quit living in fear and start living in faith. God is able. Amen. Lord, that's good stuff. But notice this, and I'm hurrying. The Bible tells me in the book of Joel, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Did you hear that? My Lord. I remember years ago, they were having a kids' crusade at Northport. They had them memorizing scripture. And Alex was trying to memorize Jeremiah 33:3, and he didn't get it quite right, but he put it in the Alex mode. And he said, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and I'll show you powerful stuff you can't think of. Glory. Hello? They gave it to him because he actually said it, just put it in his own words. But what it said was, call unto me and I'll answer thee. And I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Church, if we start believing in God, fear can disappear. Could you say amen? Amen. You won't even have to be afraid of the preacher preaching too long. Number four, we must get ready for the last day outpouring of the Spirit. Someone said, wait a minute, preacher, where are you going to get that from? Oh, it's right there in Haggai. In the ninth verse, the second chapter, he said, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And this place will I give peace, said the Lord of hosts. What's he saying? He said, quit living in the past, because the God that moved then is the God that's going to move now. And can I tell you, church, some of us need to understand, they were worried about building the temple, getting it all just right. Amen. They were having their meetings. And in Ezra, you're going to find where the Lord came to Ezra and said, just build the temple. Don't worry about it being an exact place. Just build it so I got a place to come down. And if you give me a place to move, the glory of the second temple will be greater than anything you ever saw before. Can I tell you what's coming in the church world? I believe it's going to be greater than anything we've ever saw before. And I believe before the trump of God sounds, God's going to pour out his spirit one more time. He's going to anoint his people one more time. There's going to be an outpouring of the spirit of God. And during that outpouring, there's going to be a harvest. And the church is going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And I don't know about you, but I want in the middle of what God's going to do. I want that anointing. I want that touch of his glory. I want God moving in my life with his spirit. Could you say amen? Well, preacher, you can't give me scripture for that. No, but I can. The book of Joel chapter 2 said, in the last days saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters are going to prophesy. I don't know about y'all, but that's my dream, is to see my family anointed and moving in the power of the spirit. Amen. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams. Your young men will have visions. And upon that handmaid, upon that servant, what's he saying? Upon your whole house, there's going to be a move of God. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to see lost loved ones saved. I'm going to see friends coming to the altar, and it's in the word of God, and I believe it's going to happen. And he said it's going to happen in the last days. We're living there now, and it's time to say, God, let the glory of this temple be greater than anything that ever happened here before. Would you say amen? Church, stand with me all over the house. I want you to just raise your hands and begin to praise him this morning. See, church, I believe with all my heart the greatest days of the church are in front of us, not behind us. Somebody said, well, preacher, we're taking it pretty bad, but listen, I've seen God moving everywhere else in this world. There's no reason why he can't move here. There's no reason why God can't reach down and touch the church again if we'll just do what he says and become the church he wants us to be. Go to work for him. Put our nose in that book and hang with it. Talk to him regularly in prayer. Let that anointing flow in our life. And I believe the church can still be the church. My Bible didn't tell me he's coming back for something that's barely going to make it. Hello? He's coming for a bride adorned in her greatest majesty. I don't know about y'all, but I remember the night Frieda and I got married. Y'all may not remember this, but you guys ought to remember the night you got married. I'm standing up at the front of that church, and I turn around and look, and they hit that note for to let everybody stand up, and she stepped out in the back there, and all I could think was, get her up here and get it over with before she backs out. She was as pretty that night as I'd ever saw her. Hello? You guys that don't think that, just don't look at your wife so they can see the expression on your face. But when Christ comes for his bride, the church, it's going to be in its greatest array of anointing that it's ever known. And somebody said, oh, the church is falling apart. No, it's not. God's got a church. It's just a matter of whether we're going to be a part of it by letting God have his way in our life. Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We asked you, God, to reach down, touch your people. Let your spirit move in your house. For God, we're going to give you praise, honor, and glory for everything we receive from you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name. The Spirit of God's moving in this house, and I'm going to do what I feel led of God to do. But if you're here this morning and maybe you're not where you need to be with God for whatever reason, you want to walk to this altar and just say, God, there's some things I need to make right with you. For whatever reason, God, I want to be a part of your bride. Things ain't been going good in my life, and I understand part of it's because I don't have you where I need to have you in my life. If that's where you are right now, God specifically wants to wrap his arms around you this morning and let you know, I've not left. I'm still at the door. And if you'll just open that door, I'm going to come in, wrap my arms around you and love you. What about it, friend? If you're here this morning for just one more moment, you've got something you need to talk to God about in your life. Would you just walk up here and offer it to him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, how many of you would say, preacher, I want God to move in my life with a fresh anointing of his presence. I want God to touch me with a fresh hunger for him. where I will get hungry for him like I have never been hungry for him. If that's your prayer, I want you to come right now very quickly to the front of the church. Let's just let God bless us this morning. As you walk out, you're making a commitment. God, I want a touch. I want a fresh anointing. God, I want a fresh move of your spirit. And I've got a God that honors commitment. I got a God that honors faithfulness. Hallelujah. 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 God, I just want a fresh touch of your glory. God, I just want to go to work for you. God, I want to be moved on by your grace. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We praise you. Hallelujah. Church, would you just reach over and lay your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you and just begin to pray for them? See, part of the armor of God is we pray one for the other. And we're going to believe God that right now God's going to pour out his spirit in this altar. God's going to touch us with his precious anointing. Father in heaven, we thank you now. Lord, according to the authority of your word, we claim victory this morning. God, we claim the victory of your presence and the outpouring of your power. God, touch us with your anointing today. Father, let the power of your spirit move in Jesus' name. And God, I'm believing you, Lord, and trusting in you. God, for the outpouring of your presence right now. Oh, Lord, give us that fresh touch, that fresh anointing, God. Move us into the freshness of your glory. God, let the power of your anointing permeate every part of our body. And we believe it, God, that the glory of this temple will be greater than it's ever been. The outpouring of your spirit will be greater than it's ever been. God, in Jesus' name, we come before you believing that, God. Lord, the power of your love is going to move in Jesus' name. God, we glorify you. Church, would you now just raise your hands and begin to praise him? Hallelujah. Just magnify him. The Bible said, I bless his couple of the wings of praise. Just praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Let your glory flow, God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we magnify you. Church, let me tell you something. If we've ever needed anything in the church world today, we need a hunger for God. You ever notice those things we really hunger for, we find a way to make use and do them? We really want a new car, we'll find a way to make them payments, even if we ain't got the money to start with. We something we really want to do, we find a way to do it. I remember years ago I was studying philosophy. Aristotle and Plato were walking down the side of the ocean, and one looked at the other and said, Master, how do I attain knowledge like you have? He said, walk with me, son. He took him out in the water a little over waist deep, and he tripped him. Got him under the water, put his foot on him, was holding him down. And after a while, he got to need some air. He began to struggle, and the guy just pushed his foot a little harder. He got to the point he finally just had to man up and throw him off of him to get out of the water. And he come up. He said, there's the answer. He said, what answer? He said, when you want knowledge like you just wanted air, nothing will stop you from obtaining it. When you want God so much that nothing else will satisfy you, God will be there for you and will touch you. Hallelujah. Church, would you just reach over one more time, take the hand of the person next to you, and let's believe God for the touch of his glory on every home here, every family here, every life that's represented in this building. Believe God to touch them right now. Father, we thank you because you are able, God, to do great things in our life. And we believe you, Father, for the outpouring of your spirit. God, move on us with your glory and touch us, Lord. God, with the fire of your grace, for we give you praise, honor, and glory for that we receive from you. Master, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Church, listen, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise now? Glorify him for who he is. Amen. God bless you.